Chapter 9. Edinburgh. Edinburgh, the capital of Scotland, is one of the most beautiful cities in Europe. Dominated by a medieval castle on a volcanic rock, it has a fascinating history, and there is a lot to see. It's the home of one of the best summer festivals in the world, the Edinburgh Festival. It's also the home of a very old friend of mine called Martin. Martin and I met at my school in Spain. We were both 14 years old, and my family had recently returned to Spain from the United States. My English was better than my Spanish, so I had problems at school that year. Sometimes I didn't understand what the teacher was saying or what I was supposed to do. I also felt isolated, because I didn't know about the same things as my classmates. I had different clothes, and I liked different music. People were friendly, but I wasn't happy. After Easter, my school had an exchange with a school from Edinburgh. Some pupils in my class didn't know what country Edinburgh was in, so our teacher showed us on the map. "Here's Edinburgh, on the east coast of Scotland," she said, pointing. "It's the capital of Scotland and the country's biggest tourist city. After London, more people visit Edinburgh than anywhere else in Britain." 20 Scottish pupils came to our school for 3 weeks and stayed with our families. I was the only person who could speak English and Spanish. Suddenly, everyone needed me to translate and help them so that they could talk to each other. By the end of the 3 weeks, I felt I had a lot of new friends, both Spanish and Scottish. Martin was the most popular person in his class. He was funny, intelligent, and very good at sport, and he was staying in my house. We soon discovered that we had a lot in common, and we became good friends. "It's been great having you here," I told Martin on his last day. "I like my school and Spain more now because you've helped me to make new friends."
"Thanks," he said. "I've had a fantastic time. You've shown me your city and you've taught me Spanish. One day, I want you to come to Edinburgh to visit me, and I'll show you my city. Come in summer. It's the best time."
"I'll definitely visit you. That's a promise," I told him. I was finally here. 6 years later, in the middle of August, I got off the train at Edinburgh's Waverley Station, and there was Martin. When he saw me walking down the platform, he shouted so loudly that everyone stopped and turned around.
"Antonio! Hey, Antonio! It's so good to see you!"
He took me to his flat, which he shared with two friends, and told me all about the plans he had for my visit.
"It's wonderful that you're here for the festival. I love Edinburgh all year, but during the festival, it's crazy. There's so much happening all day and all night. I hope you got lots of sleep before you came, because we've got a lot to do and a lot to see. I know you're going to enjoy this city."
"So, what are our plans?" I asked.
"Well, I thought we could go and visit the castle this afternoon and go for a walk around the old town, the oldest part of Edinburgh, which is the area where I live. Then tonight we can go and see a show at the festival," he began.
"Which show?" I interrupted.
"There are a lot of shows that have good reviews. The local newspapers have a special section for the festival and the fringe."
"What's the fringe?" I asked.
"Okay," he said. "I'll start at the beginning. But you must be hungry. I'll tell you about the fringe while we have lunch."
We had lunch with Paul and Alison, Martin's two flatmates. While we were eating, they told me more about the festival. It started in 1947, and every year there is an official program of classical music, opera, theatre, and comedy. The festival Fringe started the same year, and is basically another unofficial festival that happens outside, on the fringe of the main festival.
"There are lots of free performances every night, and hundreds more that you pay to go and see. You can pay anything from £1 upwards. You'll see what the festival is as soon as we go outside," said Martin. "It's difficult to describe the festival in words," added Alison. "You have to live it. The atmosphere is like one big party, and everyone in Edinburgh is invited."
Martin and his friends live in the old town, which is like a labyrinth with its narrow streets. We walked slowly up the high street, also called the Royal Mile, past the beautiful St. Giles Cathedral. This is the road that goes to Edinburgh Castle. The streets were busy,
and among the tourists and people shopping there were clowns, mime artists, actors in costume, and musicians playing alone and in groups. The city was alive and full of colour, and everywhere I looked, some fun thing was happening. "This is great!" I exclaimed. Just then, someone put a leaflet in my hand. "What's this?" I asked, looking at the piece of paper. "During the day, actors advertise their show for the evening. By the time we arrive at the castle, you'll have at least 10 leaflets," Martin promised me. He was right. I had 12 pieces of paper in my hand when we arrived at the castle, and all the shows looked interesting. "Choosing one show is going to be a problem," I said to Martin.
"Don't worry, I've got a few ideas," he laughed.
About 1 million people visit Edinburgh Castle every year. There is a museum in the castle, but it is also an army base because the Scottish division of the British Army is based here. From the castle, the view of the city, situated between the sea and the mountains, is superb. Inside the castle, we saw the royal apartments. There is a tiny room here where Mary, Queen of Scots, gave birth to the boy who became the King of both England and Scotland.
"He became King James VI of Scotland and King James I of England in 1603, when Queen Elizabeth I of England died. It was important because England and Scotland were separate countries then, and they had different kings. James was the first king to be the king of both countries. It was called the Union of the Crowns," Martin told me.
I must admit, I didn't know very much about Scottish history, but Martin was an expert. He was studying history at university and was a very good guide. Martin and his flatmates were also good guides for the festival. They had a surprise for me on my first night. We went to see Rowan Atkinson perform in one of the theatres. He's the actor and comedian who created the character Mr. Bean, and his comedy act was very funny. I thought he was even better on stage than in the television programme. After the show, we went to Bannerman's Pub, near Martin's flat. Paul worked there at the weekends. He told me that a lot of the people who were performing in the festival went there.
"Hey, Bob," he said to the barman. "Can we have 2 pints, please?"
As Martin and Paul talked to the barman, Alison and I looked around for somewhere to sit. Someone standing at the other end of the bar looked familiar. "Alison, do you recognise that man? Is he famous?" I asked her.
"Antonio, that's Rowan Atkinson!" she exclaimed.
Bob, the barman, knew Rowan Atkinson because he had been into the pub before. So I met Mr. Bean, and you know, he looks completely normal when he's not acting. We went to see lots of different shows while I was in Edinburgh. We went to listen to a choir singing Verdi's Requiem at St. Giles Cathedral. The singing was lovely, and the cathedral itself is very interesting. We also went with Alison and Paul and had a picnic in Prince's Street Gardens and watched a circus. There was wonderful music, people who juggled with fire, and very talented acrobats and gymnasts. The circus was very unusual because it was a circus without animals. The gardens were full, and the performers moved amongst the people. I loved the music so much that I bought the CD after the performance. All the time I was in Edinburgh, I was lucky with the weather. Everyone I met said the same thing to me.
"You're here for a week?" they asked.
"Yes," I told them.
"Oh, it's lovely sunny weather for your visit. You are lucky."
Martin had decided to take me north for a few days to see some more of Scotland. I hoped my luck would continue.